Hey everybody, it's Marcus here, and you're listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show.
I keep it playin', watch some choose to play it safe. But check the resume, it's risky business in the AA. And I've been witness to this history ever since the 10th grade. We went from rockin' brace to 10th phase. I twist my A head to the side just for style. Or throw on the Gucci bucket with the fly, super fly. Wow, the Southern pride been known to shut it down. It ain't so country though, yeah, this ain't no Goma Pow. Now party people in the club, it's time to cut a rug and throw the deuce up in the sky just for the shutter buzz. I'm double fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. Boy, stop, I'm just playing, let me dab you up. After 12 club like a high B, a beehive, cause not everybody buzzing around me. Could it be the way that the verse is sounding? Came up on the ghetto boys and the underground king. Toys, I had a chrome called a Pretty Brown thing. Pink looked like root beer when the sun was shining. Known to keep a bad snow is beside me. Index finger on the finger case, think this clowning. Not to flex, but to protect my neck like the Wu-Tang. Self-preservation is the rule when you do aim. Or getting something more sinister, you gotta be the finisher. Make it so the doctors, they can't replenish him. Gone get them some hoes, leave it alone. Triple OG status, A-Town's very own. Now party people in the club, it's time to cut a rug and throw the deuce up in the sky just for the shutter buzz. I'm double fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. Boy, stop, I'm just playing, let me dab you up. Now party people in the club, it's time to cut the rug and throw the deuce up in the sky just for the shutter buzz. I'm double fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. Boy, stop, I'm just playing, let me dab you up.
Hey everybody, it's Marcus here. It's October the 23rd, 2011, and the song that you just listened to was Big Boy versus Matt and Kim. It's a tune called Camera Buggin', and it's actually on a movie called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold by Morgan Spurlock. I just watched it, I heard this song at the end, and I figured I had to play it on this edition of the show. Lots of stuff to talk about today. There is lots happening in Goody Reader land, as it were. Mercy Pilkington, which is one of our staff writers, she was just in New York City for a self-publishing conference. She's landed exclusive interviews with Amazon CreateSpace, Barnes & Noble Puppet, Book Brewer, and this is a project by Borders Self-Publishing, Kobo, BookBaby, Smashwords, and a whole lot of other companies. Got on video, we've done interviews, we got some dibs on what these companies are working on, their origins, where they're at now, and where are they in 2012, certainly with the advent of EPUB 3, Kindle Format 8, which we'll talk about in a bit. The industry is wide open for a new form of ebook. Right now, we're just kind of used to the static ebook, just text on a page. And there's a lot of very interesting things happening with rich media content, being able to deliver advertising within books, interactive content, Google Maps, YouTube videos, and a whole lot more. We constantly write about digital publishing and ebook innovation, so just make sure that you keep on tuning into our blog every day at goodyreader.com/blog to keep up with all of the latest updates. The industry is pretty complex in terms of new tech coming along, new industry standards trying to be formulated. And speaking of industry standards, within the next few weeks, goodyreader.com is going to be on location. We're going to visit the Intel Labs in Portland, Oregon, and we're going to take a look at some of the ebook technology that they're working on. And Intel's done a really good job at getting industry standards, you know, with processors, chipsets, and this and that. They're pretty well one of the largest companies in terms of that. So when they say that they're trying to do a new ebook standard and they have some tech to show us, we're definitely going to listen. Aside from that, we do have some big news. We're actually going to Toronto, and this is in Canada, and we're going to check out the Kobo Vox. We're going to get a hands-on with it and hopefully be able to tell you all about it a few days before it's released. So we'll be able to give you our impressions of the user menu interface, how everything works. We may not be able to exactly show you pictures and everything like that until the device is actually released, but we can give you for sure our impressions and everything of it. There's an interesting article on the front page of our blog. It talks about advertisements in ebooks and is it a good idea? And Michael had written a commentary on this, and it basically says that Amazon obtained a patent in 2009 that described the steps taken to put adverts within ebooks and another patent for printed content. Since they have attained this patent, the company has not really pursued this technology. They have certainly put out the Kindle Special Offers Edition. They did this in the Kindle 3rd and 4th generation. It basically subsidizes the cost of the hardware to be able to display ads on the home menu and the screensaver. Amazon had intended on subsidizing the cost of ebooks by putting advertisements within them. And given that what we kind of mentioned at the top of the show with HTML5, EPUB3, Kindle format, the new version, it's the time is now to really be able to put audio, video, interactive advertisements within books in order to give them away for free or to charge a tremendously reduced price. So bestseller ebook James Patterson, $10.99 or $9.99 is usually the cost, and if you can get it instead for 99 cents and see an advert maybe at the very beginning, every 10 or 15 chapters or so, this would be a way for the companies to be able to make money in the long term and offer the ebook to the consumer at a severely reduced price. One of the facets that Michael brought to the table was that there's no disputing that in the industry and in ebooks, there is piracy. And you only have to look at some of the largest sites such as Pirate Bay, Demonoid, and other torrent and file sharing sites to know that there's really about 700,000 to 800,000 books that were uploaded in 2011 so far. And that is up significantly from 2010 figures. As e-readers and tablets become more popular, people are pirating the ebooks in greater volume. Piracy with ebooks really came to fruition when the original iPad was released. And we looked at figures from various torrent sites when they sent them in to us, and there was a huge dramatic spike in the amount of downloads for ebooks and people sharing ebooks when the original iPad came out. And then obviously with that, the Kindle became more popular, Barnes & Noble line of e-readers, including the Nook Color, became popular. So as more people have these devices, more people are saying, you know, I can get the book for free, so why not? So with the potential of adverts being in books, even if these books were pirated, the author, the publishing company would still be able to make money because the books and the ads are still retained. So it would be a way that even when authors' books are pirated, the author can really still make money from it. And that's the biggest problem of piracy right now, is when you download a pirated book, nobody makes any money off of it. And I think people will always pirate content, whether they're pirating books or videos, or starting with Napster, with MP3s becoming very widespread. People are always going to do it. And we actually had a pretty big argument in the office the other day. The short form of it was that with ebooks and piracy, people grow up doing it. You know, there's a lot of people that grew up with Napster, or grew up when, you know, people, you just download music from the internet and you don't think anything of it. And then there's people that grew up and, you know, through their formative and teen years before this kind of digital internet revolution. And so there's a different sort of moral ground we've noticed between people who grow up downloading music from the internet, you know, when they're 5, 6, 7 years old, and people who, when they were 5, 6, and 7, didn't even have an internet, didn't file share, and those people now who are, you know, age, say, 30 to, you know, 65, basically, those are the people who most often buy the content, where people who are, you know, really under 25 right now, they're pretty well the age demographic that are pirating books. And so you really have to kind of develop a new type of system, because people are growing up and pirating, and they don't have any type of, you know, moral, you know, there's more moral ambiguity when you grow up pirating versus you've always purchased content. And sure, as an older cat, you know, I'm 32, and I must say that I, once in a while, I'll pirate something. I'll watch television streaming online if I miss an episode and, you know, it's not on TV, or, you know, and so on. I mean, you know, I'll admit it, but in retrospect, I purchase way more content than I, you know, might just download from the internet. And that's just me, and I know everybody kind of has their different opinions. I prefer to really reward, or not reward, but I really want to give my appreciation monetarily wise to the authors I love, with books in particular. You know, I really dig William Gibson, Douglas Copeland, Noam Chomsky, you know, people like that. And, you know, as soon as their book comes out in hardcover, I'm there the day it comes out, you know, dropping $30-$40 and buying the book. And I know a lot of people will, you know, wait for the paperback to come out and you know, get that, because, you know, they know that when you buy the book, you're supporting the author, but then you're getting the book right away and reading the book. And so it's this kind of symbiotic relationship. So it was a very interesting conversation we had in the offices that derived from this article. And we're going to kind of do a follow-up article on the ambiguity of, you know, teens and early people in their 20s being more pirate, you know, being pirates as opposed to purchasing the content, and what book companies and publishers really need to do in order to make money off of that demographic. Like we said, with ebooks right now, no one's making money if they're pirated, but if they put ads in them, they'll still be able to make money. And the technology's here: EPUB 3, Kindle Format 8, HTML5. The tech is basically right around the corner. And so this is a way with advertisements that you can put them in a book. So far, Amazon's patented a few ways. No companies have actually really approached this. So we really thought that this would be a good series of articles, because no one in industry is doing it. And we really hope that, you know, a solid company comes along and maybe offers this sort of thing. And I really think that if somebody does, it's really going to kind of change the landscape if it's, you know, done properly. Amazon has offered a new Kindle trade-in program. If you're looking to trade in an old e-reader and get a new one, or if you just need some cash, you can get Kindle credit or Kindle gift cards by trading your old Kindle. So if you have the 6-inch Wi-Fi version with special offers and sponsored screensavers, this is the Kindle third generation, the Kindle keyboard as it's called, you get a trade-in value of about $38. If you have the 3G version of it, you get about $50. and so on. So they don't they give you basically one quarter of the cost, and they have different degrees depending on what kind of condition it's in. You have about 8 days to send it and for them to receive it after you do it, and then they'll send some cash to yourself. So if you have some old e-readers lying around and you want to buy the latest and greatest, this may not be a substitution for eBay, but at least you can do it through Amazon and get paid, you know, within a few days and not have to deal with a lot of, you know, the eBay type stuff, you know, people, you know, buying stuff and maybe not paying for it, or, oh, I did this by mistake, or I don't have a PayPal account, and, you know, so on. The biggest news kind of in the industry right now is, you know, Amazon's been in the news a lot. And so we mentioned that they've done a new ebook format called Kindle Format 8. And this is the successor of their Mobi format, which has been the format that Kindles have read all along to this day. So it'll be bringing to the table next generation capabilities for enhanced ebooks. It does support for CSS3, HTML5, and you know, embedded fonts, fixed layouts, text on background images, numbered and bulleted lists, drop caps, and a whole lot more. There's basically 200 to 300 new things as a developer that you could use for tools. 150 formatting capabilities. There's tons in this, and so Amazon is going to be able to showcase this in the Kindle Fire that's coming up. And they're going to release a public authoring and toolkit for authors that want to make books using this new format. You can continue publishing as normal as you always have. You'll be gravitated towards this tool, but you don't, you know, if you want to offer, if you make, say, an ebook with a bunch of rich media content, you don't have to make two versions of the book, you know, one for normal Kindle users and one for Kindles that support this new format. So you only have to do one version, and, you know, the publisher tools that Amazon offers will be able to give you two different versions of the book with only, you know, your master copy of it. So you don't have to, you know, format the book twice, is really what I'm saying. Basically, fourth generation and third generation Kindles will be able to do this. If you have a Kindle 1, Kindle 2, you are out of luck. Kindle 3 and the new Kindle 4, as well as the Kindle Touch, the Kindle Fire, and all those will be able to read it via a firmware update. If you have a Kindle DX, you may be out of luck on yet another type of firmware update. Amazon has only officially commented on the Kindle keyboard and the e-readers that they just released in the last few months and are going to be releasing in November. So stay tuned for that. We're pretty excited about this new format. Amazon is pretty well one of the largest bookstores. So when they come out with a new format and things like that, we're certainly going to pay attention to that. The other big news of the week was a Google Ice Cream Sandwich, which is the new OS for tablets and smartphones. If you know anything about Android, you might know that there's a whole lot of different versions. We see phones and tablets still being sold with Android 1.5, 1.6 in Asia, and we see tablets with, and a lot of older phones, anywhere between Android 2.0 to 2.3, and then most tablets these days are being shipped with Google Honeycomb. It is a nightmare for application and game developers. You have so many different types of operating systems out there that how are you going to be able to just write an app for one? You have to pretty well write an app for all, and that's why everyone's using iOS, because you do a phone game or you do an iPad game. There's fixed screen sizes, you know the hardware, all the dev tools are pretty well the same no matter what you want to develop for. Android is a whole nother can of worms. With the advent of Google Ice Cream Sandwich, this is an OS that is used for phones and tablets, so it's going to make developers' lives a lot easier by having one unified operating system. You make games and only games for Ice Cream Sandwich. All phones are going to be released, you know, like the Razer or the new Nexus Prime are going to be running Ice Cream Sandwich. This is what we've heard. A lot of tablet companies are going to be releasing products December, late November, and all of 2012. If you're going to buy a phone or a tablet, it is going to be shipped with Ice Cream Sandwich, because it obviously it's a free OS. It gives you a lot of capabilities underneath the hood. I'm not going to get into any of the details, but we do have all the details on our blog. So if you want to learn more about Ice Cream Sandwich, devices that are going to ship with it, check it out. One tablet in particular that we have our eye on that we really hope that it gets the Ice Cream Sandwich treatment soon is the Notion Ink Atom with a fixed graphic user interface. It's a very different type of tablet than anything else, and so integrating Ice Cream Sandwich is not going to be the easiest thing to do. One of the big hyping things on Ice Cream Sandwich is one of the last things I want to say about it is that it's really pushing for a specific kind of experience. Right now, if you buy a Motorola phone, you have Moto Blur. If you have a Samsung, you have their equivalent. A lot of companies kind of put their own user interface over it, so TouchWiz and, you know, things like that. With Ice Cream Sandwich, Google is really saying don't do any of that, because the reason why a lot of phones don't get upgrades right away or if ever is because they have these custom user interfaces over the OS, and so Google just can't push you the updates, but the carriers needs to say, okay, we need to make sure all of our current programs work, all of our little UI functions work properly, and, you know, a lot of companies will release a phone a year, say like a year like past, and they won't be supporting it anymore because they release a new phone like every month or every few months, and so it really makes it so old. You know, phones become obsolete a lot faster because they don't see the type of support, and it's because of these graphical user elements. And so with Ice Cream Sandwich, it's going to make it's going to take all that out of the equation, and Google's going to say, no, you can't do these. So when a new update comes out, all phones can automatically just support it, and all the programmers you know, working for these companies like Motorola, Nokia, Samsung and things like that are making all these phones and tablets, they won't have to really do much work. They could just push the update right away and not mess up whatever they're doing underneath the hood of it. One of the other bigger points of the news that's happened this last week, seeing as though we're talking about tablets and operating system, is the new OS 2 by BlackBerry, and they have pushed a beta to their Playbook tablet, and this is going to allow a few major things. It's firstly going to allow you to play Android apps. What they've done is they've developed a new tool set where you can convert Android files to what's known as BAR files. So you convert an APK file to a BAR file, and that's it. If you have an Android app, you can convert it to a BlackBerry app. So soon, once this update comes out in the first week or two of November, it's going to push thousands of new apps to the BlackBerry app world, which really it's a barren wasteland right now. There's, you know, less than about like 150 dedicated Playbook apps, and, you know, most of them are pretty well garbage. And so there's a lot of popular, you know, Android apps, for instance, Angry Birds, the Amazon Kindle app, Borders app, Kobo app, Barnes & Noble ebook app, as well as Aldico and, you know, all the Droid Comic Viewer, you know, as well as all the office-type productivity applications, all of the games. And so Playbook's going to become a more viable consumer item because you'll be able to load so many more apps on it. And so right now we have a link on our site to all of the major applications that you would want. It's pretty well like the Angry Birds of the worlds for games, as well as a lot of productivity and e-reading applications. Another good thing that they're doing is they've allowed calendar and native email support on the Playbook. So you no longer have to bridge your phone in order to get emails. It'll have its own dedicated email app and calendar app. BBM and all those other things like contacts are going to be done as well. We're really excited for mainly the email. And I've mentioned it many times. I pretty well exclusively use BlackBerry phones, mainly because of the email support. I had a playbook. I sold it about a month later because it just didn't have that email support unless your phone was tethered to it. I didn't really always want to do that. And so now that the playbook has email coming to it, I'm definitely going to buy a playbook probably for the holidays, just because I could travel a lot with it when our team goes on location to CES, the London Book Fair, and Book Expo America, and all those other places that we normally go to. So we can check our emails and things. So I'm pretty excited that the playbook's going to do that. A lot of companies were offering the playbook on discount, and a lot of those discount periods are over. We saw playbooks being sold for as little as $200, and now everyone's charging regular prices because a lot of consumers are going to be now buying the playbook because of all of this new support. Lots of other news in the week. The Kobo Vox tablet was revealed, which I talked about at the beginning of the show, how we're going to Toronto to check it out. It's Kobo's first tablet. It's set to be at $199, which is on par with the Kindle Fire. 7-inch capacitive touchscreen display. Resolution 1024 by 600. It runs Google Android 2.3, but it has a very custom Kobo interface, similar to the Barnes & Noble Nook Color in terms of they've really tailored it to be an e-reader. It has integrated support for Kobo Pulse, which is their new program to allow you to chat in real time with other people that are reading the same book as you, and their achievements, reward, and statistics program that's called Reading Life. There's going to be an app market on there called Get Jar, and this will allow you to download Angry Birds, games, apps, and so on. You will be able to read EPUB books out of the box, but as you download third-party apps, you'll be able to read PDFs and different formats. It has Wi-Fi and built-in speakers, as well as a 3.5mm headphone jack. And it comes preloaded with Zinio Press Reader and a bunch of other applications. It's on pre-order right now on shopereaders.com. And you can pre-order it for a little over $200, and the company ships international. In Canada, you can pre-order it with Chapters or Indigo, and with the States, you can pre-order it at companies such as Best Buy and so on. Bokeen is releasing a new e-reader as well soon called the Bokeen Odyssey. Now, Bokeen is a French company, and they've mainly sold their e-readers in Europe. They've pioneered a new technology called HSIS, and they told us a little bit about it. They've been developing it for about 2 years, and the architecture is made of both hardware and software components in order to boost electronic ink display screens. It was developed for quality and performance in mind from the ground up, and they've definitely increased the speed of and refresh rate of e-readers. It's going to be using a Cortex A8 processor developed by Texas Instruments, and they developed this in partnership with Bokeen, much like Freescale partners with Amazon, Sony, and Kobo to make specific versions of its processor for their dedicated e-readers. Lots of other news that's happened this week. If you want to check out some of the latest stories, check out our blog as always at goodereader.com/blog. Basically, all the week's articles go to 3 or 4 different pages. We do between 5 and 10 articles every day in the realm of e-paper, e-ink, e-books, e-readers, tablets, digital publishing, and a whole lot more. So check it out. For goodereader.com, my name is Marcus, and everybody take care.